A sheriff and a space ranger fight for Andy's affection. Flick must concoct a scheme to take on the grasshoppers. Buzz and gang rescue Woody from a collector. Sully and Mike have to get Boo back to her bedroom. Marlin searches the ocean for his son. After Bob comes out of retirement, his family must band together to find him and defeat a fan from his past. And Lightning learns there's more to life than going fast. This time on the Oscar should have gone to Pixar, Part 1.
And the Oscar goes to... And the Oscar goes to...
The Academy Award.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to... Shrek!
And the Oscar goes to... Finding Nemo!
The Oscar goes to... The Incredibles!
The Oscar goes to... Happy Feet.
Ooh, we're doing something.
We're doing something different. You know what I realized when I started watching these movies is...
What?
The first three films I watched for this project were roughly the same runtime as Gone with the Wind, which we will watch when we do our next year.
I mean, I keep hoping that the big one is going to come and knock out all... Some sort of apocalyptic event will happen before. Although, you know, I've seen Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, so...
Do I have to watch that again? Probably right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, brush up. Brush up on your racism. It's important.
Brush up your racism.
Start quoting them now.
I was going to say, speaking of, but there's only one movie that is a little problematic in this batch, and we'll get to it.
I think there are two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking Pixar, and I am hype because for like a lot of times I feel like we ignore animated.
Well, because of course
my husband works in animation.
Yeah, the Academy, of course, famously, there's been three animated films ever nominated for Best Picture, so we don't get the chance to talk about them very much on
our podcast.
Beauty
and the Beast. What are the other two? Beauty and the Beast. What else?
Up and Toy Story 3.
Up and Toy Story 3. Great.
Yeah. So basically what we'll be doing throughout this is we'll be talking about the best animated Oscar. So we'll be talking about every Pixar film and then the films that they were either what we feel like was probably the runner-up if Pixar won or what won the Oscar in the year Pixar did not win. Now, there is a caveat to that, of course.
And Craig, tell us about that caveat.
And the caveat is that the best animated Oscar did not begin until 2001. So we actually have three Pixar films that we're going to be talking about that are prior to an animated Oscar, but we can't ignore them. I mean, I would say in particular, two of them are, you know, very aligned with Pixar going forward because one's a sequel of the other. But that, you know, that is, I think when people think of Pixar, at least people our age, I would argue probably Toy Story is the first thing they think of, whether it's their favorite film or not. It's the text for Pixar. So I think you go to Buzz and Woody first.
It's funny to talk about, to be talking about animated movies because I kind of did like I was talking to my sister and some other people about these movies, not just the Pixar ones, but the competitors as well, because we're going to talk about the competitors.
Yeah.
And it really, so much of it is like what age you are and like when you watched this and when it hit you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Most of the movies we're going to talk about, we were older for, but Toy Story was what, 1995?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1995. So, like, I was a child, and some of these other movies I was a child for, and I don't know. It's funny to rewatch them, even though I have seen some stuff in more recent years. But it stuff hits you different. I'm going to shock you. Stuff hits you differently when you're a kid.
Wow.
And sometimes, opinion changes, and sometimes it doesn't.
That's so profound.
I know. I should write a book.
So how we kind of figured it out, you know, I kind of sent Megan movies. I was like, these were probably the runner-ups in the Oscar years. And then for the other years, I looked at obviously just movies animated films I remember from those years looking back. And then also the Annie Awards have existed for over you know, they've existed for like 35 years or something like that. So
does Annie win every year? Is it just always
Megan,
an orphan with curly red hair?
So
that's where my mind goes.
So I did look for those years, like what won the Annie Award. It is a little difficult, actually, because it doesn't. The Annie Awards until recently had a different release schedule. So they would, when they first started, they were given out like in late October, early November. And the first several Pixar films, I think, were released around Christmas time. So like if you look at like 98, like A Bug's Life is not nominated for an Annie Award in 98. It's nominated with the 99 films because it came out after the cutoff. But we did try and keep it within the year because that's what it would have been Oscar-wise.
Right. And so, we only care, famously, I only care about the Oscars.
Famously, we don't listen to anything anyone says if it's not the Academy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We follow them blindly.
Yeah, which is why this podcast is and always will be called The Oscar Went Too Correctly. should we jump in?
That's a joke, guys. That's a joke. Because it's so, because Craig, the whole point, the whole conceit here is it so rarely does go to the actual best.
That's right. Movie. That's right. So if you're tuning in for the first time for our Pixar series, that's not.
But then we get into a conversation
not what
of.
We think.
No, not what we think. Art is subjective. Excuse me, Quinn. I will kill you. Get down.
Quinn is Megan's domestic worker.
She knows what she did. I'm going to take a finger. let's begin.
So how would you want to do this? Do you want to start talking about Pixar? You want to start talking about the non-Pixar film or films from the year?
I think let's not bury the lead. Let's just go in it to Pixar and then, because some of the competitors are there. I have more to say than others, but like, I think in general, this is a Pixar.
It's a Pixar pod.
It is now a Pixar pod.
Yeah.
And what we talked about doing, which I'm very excited about at the end, is ranking all the Pixars.
Yep.
Because I'm, you know, it's interesting to see how they kind of like ebb and flow. So let's start with Toy Story, the number one, the first, and you know, knocked it out of the park first try.
They did. They certainly did. Do you have recollections of seeing the first Toy Story in theaters? I do not, and that doesn't mean
I don't.
I might have, but I don't remember.
I assume I did. Especially, I grew up in rural New Hampshire. I didn't do a lot else other than go to the movies when I was 12 or whatever.
Your favorite film growing up, as you've said many times, was My Dinner with Andre, so you had to see the new Wallace Shawn vehicle, not knowing it was animated.
No, I was like, I just was in it, in the hole for Wally Shawn.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing it, but it's such a weird, like, it's so, I mean, obviously there's so many sequels, but it's also just so prevalent in pop culture and stuff, like, just people constantly saying to infinity and beyond. And now there are these ads for Disney Plus all around my neighborhood that have like do you have these in Philadelphia? And they have like bibbidi bobbidi boo to infinity and beyond and all these fucking.
Oh, no. We are more about the Constitution here.
Oh, right.
The forefathers and.
Like boring shit.
Yeah.
Like Hamilton,
you know, we just,
shit.
We'd walk around and there's like quotes from the Peter Stone musical 1776 on the walls.
Now, can you see the Liberty Bell from where you're sitting right now?
Not from where I'm sitting, but I can walk to the Liberty Bell in about 20 minutes from where I live. So,
wow, brag. Big time.
Now people can geolocate me. Although, 20 minutes in what direction? That they don't know.
We don't know.
It is definitely interesting watching this particularly just to see how the digital animation has obviously improved over nearly 30 years that they've been doing this. I feel like it's really noticeable on Andy.
Yeah, the kids in a lot of the early Pixars, they look terrifying. They're scary looking, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of terrifying
like
kids.
Like, they spent a lot of time on, we'll talk about this later, but they spent a lot of time making, I assume, making Boo look cute. Because the rest of the kids, it's very in Monsters, Inc. It's either very, they all look sort of the same. They all have these like crazy teeth.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
Would you say that Sid is the most, is maybe the most terrifying villain in Pixar, like from the jump? I mean, he's like, we need to talk about Kevin meets Jigsaw.
Yeah. Yeah, Sid is Sid upsets me now as a
mother of a son.
Sid scares me. Sid is what you hope that your kid does not turn into. Which is funny because when I first saw it as a kid, I was like, I don't know, probably was like, what a jerk.
Yeah, you're like, no, you probably were like, I wonder if he'll give me a kiss.
Ooh. There was this girl that lived down the street from me when I was growing up, and she was, when I tell you she was in love with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Uh-huh.
That's a true story. Like, wanted to make out with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Do you think...
Where is that girl today?
I don't know. You think she's found, like... You think she started, like, all the, like, pregnant Sonic memes and stuff like that, and she secretly made, like, a lot of money on the dark web with her...
I hope so. I hope it turned out better for her because that relationship was just never.
It was never going to happen.
No, doomed from the jump. Sid is creepy. I just think the conceit, and we'll talk about this with like the later Pixars. The simpler you keep the conceit, the easier it is to world build, and uh-huh. The movie is.
Yeah.
Like the idea of your toys coming to life is just a very easy, simple idea. And you'd follow the like, well, if that, then what, you know,
yeah.
like bottle. And then it becomes so fun. And like, what would this toy be like? And what would like, and they would use the slinky to get stuff. And you know what I mean? And like, and the GI Joes to like, and the monkeys or whatever. Yeah.
They
like,
would string, you know, Jim Varney blocks and blocks apart. A slinky dog.
But that's like the fun. That is such the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It is interesting rewatching this because I feel like in my head, you know, I knew Pixar movies obviously always had something for grown-ups. Like that's what they've been famous for. It's like, it's a kid's movie, but for grown-ups as well. This movie's maybe kind of traumatic, like for like a young child. Like the Sid's toys that he's sort of like glued back together are scary. I forgot that.
Yeah, they are.
I forgot that Woody's arm gets ripped off.
Yeah. Yeah. And he like, and he has like an existential crisis because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, it's very creepy the way when they come out of the woodwork too, and like are attacking him, but they're actually like just trying to fix him
yeah.
and stuff. It's like, it's pretty messed up. Some of the movies are more for kids than others.
Yeah.
And some of them I'm like, I'm surprised if a kid is that interested in it. And I doing like a quick poll of my sister's children, Toy Story is not one of their favorites.
Mm, interesting.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
I do have a couple questions. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, and this is towards the end of the film. Why did they rent such a large moving truck? There's not very much in the truck. There's like,
yeah, you'd think it would be. And by the way, they'd think you would need all that. It's a whole house.
Yeah. It seems like it's either the largest truck in the world and all the furniture is very far back. And then there's like a big gap and there's just the box of toys towards the front.
Yeah. Don't know.
Or they're just they're not bringing a lot of stuff with them. You know, John and I used to hang out a lot, and we have really lost touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's too bad, because we could have gotten him on the horn for questions like that.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, because, you know, if there's one thing that John Lasseter didn't like to lose, it was touch.
Gross.
Here's my other question. Because obviously you've got a friend in me, iconic.
Yeah.
Are there too many?
Which he wrote for the movie, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Are there too many Randy Newman songs in this first film?
No such thing as too many Randy Newman songs.
I'm thinking in particularly of the song that he's written for, like when Buzz is sort of having his crisis when he realizes that he's a toy, and there's like a long Randy Newman song. I just felt like maybe there was one song too many. Like, I feel like they found a sweet spot after this that where they were like, yeah, we're going to have you like write one song for Monsters, Inc. or whatever. But
yeah, it's interesting because to see the song stuff kind of fade away,
yeah,
because it was in the 90s for Disney movies that the songs were the reason for the season.
Yeah.
Like you, there was, you know what I mean? Like that's like the Lion King and,
well, look,
and
can we
Little Mermaid and
speaking of the Lion King
stuff.
Really quick, like it's crazy because they say Hakuna Matata in the movie. And this movie came out 1 year after The Lion King. Yeah. I feel like The Lion King came out 15 years before Toy Story.
Yeah, that's actually crazy to think about. Well, when I saw that it was 95, I was surprised. 95 seems really early. Especially because we just got a new Toy Story.
Yeah, and we're getting a fifth one. They just dated a fifth Toy Story movie.
Wow.
For 2026.
I think they were trying to compete with, and it's funny you say there's too many Randy Newman songs or whatever. I feel like they wanted Randy Newman to be their Elton John.
Yeah.
Like Elton John did all the songs for Lion King. And then they were like, well, we've got to have like the same sort of musical voice, the same idea throughout the thing. So they
They're like, who's the guy who wrote that song about short people not being
worth
living? We should get him to write our songs. This is obviously Pixar before Disney. Like Disney had not bought Pixar at this point, so
right,
they were in competition with each other. And speaking of competition, I did select a couple movies from this year. I don't know if you watched both of them, revisited them, but they're both Disney films. One was their big splashy follow-up to Lion King musical, which is Pocahontas. And then a movie that I feel like has become a cult classic, which is a Goofy movie.
I had never seen a Goofy movie.
I don't think I had
before.
Either.
Which is kind of funny because I feel like that I was young enough,
yeah,
but I missed that boat. And I watched it. I don't know what to say about a Goofy movie. I think that's one of those things where if you grew up watching that, you love it. And now as an adult watching it, I'm like, the fuck is this?
I mean, I think we can all, you know, understand Max's nightmares of becoming Goofy.
Yeah.
You know, becoming
for sure.
Your parents.
Yeah.
Sure. I feel like I'm surprised you that didn't is. Like, I feel like you're sort of a Roxanne type.
Hot, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, she's hot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you get why. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like in the movie when there's one part where Max says to Goofy, sorry for the mess. And the mess is literally, there's like full slices of pizza just like strewn about the... It's like, what are you guys doing?
There's like one hanging off the dresser.
Yeah.
What were you doing with that pizza?
Yeah.
They were... experimenting with that pizza.
There's a scene where Max and Goofy die in a terrible automobile accident.
I'm gonna sneeze. Oh, I'm not gonna sneeze. God, that's so annoying. Yeah, they go.
I feel like after that point, the rest of the movie, that's how they're able to get on stage at the Powerline concert because the rest of the movie is a fever dream.
Is it? Yeah.
After
it's a
dead.
Jacob. It's a Jacob's ladder situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny because they were like, they go off a cliff and into the river and they're fine, but then they can't. Then they're like, oh, there's a waterfall. I'm like, guys, did you see what you just survived?
Yeah,
like,
you're be fine with this waterfall.
Weird songs. Also, weird songs.
Yeah. It is. A Goofy movie couldn't have happened post 9/11 because there's no way Powerline's letting them get on stage.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I don't know how they make that Powerline, great name for a rapper. Or whatever he is, like a Michael Jackson analog. Which is also kind of problematic.
Yeah.
Famously, I love Pocahontas.
That's funny because I am not sure. Here's my remembrance of Pocahontas, which is a film that I cannot remember if I had ever seen.
Oh, God, I love
it. In sixth grade choir, we sang a Pocahontas medley in class. Oh. So, like, okay. Forever stuck in my head is dig and dig and dig and diggity dig and dig and dig and dig and diggity. Hey, nanny, nanny, ho, nanny, nanny, ho. Yeah. So I do remember the songs from Pocahontas. I don't know if I'd ever seen it. And you know what? I famously don't think this is a very good movie.
You're wrong. But again, I have such
Well, you're going to defend thought. Anything that Mel Gibson is in.
I forgot that that was him. Oh, that's tough. I know it's not historically accurate, but again, they feel like they're really leaning on the songs, and the songs fucking slap. They're all good. Just Around the River Bend, amazing.
The music,
Colors of the Wind, the music, come through.
Well, here's the thing. The music is good, but I think why this is considered lesser coming off like what I think many people would argue was like the Disney run of like their renaissance is Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast,
Lion King.
And I think Pocahontas, most people consider like a step down from there, is because I think those movies had great music and then enjoyable things in between. I don't think Pocahontas has much outside of the music.
I liked the love story when I was a kid, which again, I realize is like the not historically accurate, not that any like, you know, whatever, not that any animated movie like this is really whatever. Historically accurate, but
you also like the idea that just if you listened hard enough with your heart, all of a sudden you'd be able to speak English.
Yeah,
like immediately.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that I would be able to speak English if I listened hard enough with my heart.
I
Camino talk so good.
I don't love that they try and paint. You know, there's the Savages song, which you're like, ooh, this is going to be politically incorrect. But
they
then
try
they
and
kind
paint with all the colors of the mountain?
No, that they kind of try and make it seem like the natives are also in the wrong.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a real problem. That's a real problem. At the end, she's like, I need to stay to help my people be, like, you know, nicer to these white folks. Like, no, kill them. They have smallpox. Like, get them out of there. But it was sad because she leaves. I will tell you, I cried. I cry at this movie.
Mm-hmm.
With so many, there's going to be so much talk of crying. I cry at this movie when she runs. At the end, he's sailing back to England because he's been shot.
Yeah. And the only way he'll be able to survive is to be on a 3-week boat journey back to England.
He not making it back. But then he's like, come with me. And she's like, no, I have to help, you know, when I have to stay here. And then the next shot is her like kind of running. And you're like, oh, she's running to make the ship, but she's not. And then she comes and then the music swells and the wind comes behind her and it pushes the sails for him to go faster. And I don't know. I like it. It works on me on an emotional level. But again, I was a little girl mm-hmm. when I saw this, and I like the love story and the music is fun. That's all.
Well, great.
Movie less so. I'm not a boy or a dad.
Yeah.
And, I was a kid, though, and Toy Story, of the three of these, is the best conceit. You know what I'm saying?
If it's 1995, there's a best animated Oscar. The Oscar should go to...
Toy Story.
I agree. So...
Yeah.
Knock one down for Pixar.
One for Pixar.
And then I should ask, we talked about this, we were doing this as a segment... We'll speak directly to the Pixar films. Did you cry during Toy Story?
I did not cry during Toy Story.
I did not cry during Toy Story.
Okay.
1998, the next Pixar film, I would say one of the more forgotten Pixar films.
For sure.
And
For
that's
sure.
A Bug's Life.
Doesn't even have a ride at Disneyland, I don't think. Or maybe it does, but it's like a kid's ride. It's like a kiddie, like little kid's ride.
Yeah. Do you think that they should have like a Heimlich walking around? He's because he's a funny bug.
He is a funny bug. And the little pill bugs are funny too. I just hire some teeny little acrobats to do little street performing. Main Street USA. Come on. This is a funny movie.
Yeah. It's cute.
It's a cute movie. It's cute. It's funny. It's Richard Kind he's not the bad guy. He's like the henchman. Who's the bad guy?
The bad guy. Oof. Speaking of not aging great, Kevin Spacey is the voice of Hopper.
Yikes. Hopper. Right. Not good.
We had white male movie stars once that maybe they just weren't, they're just not here anymore.
Not it. between that guy and Tim Allen. Not a great Pixar.
It's actually very.
But the rest of the voice.
Very funny that. So the whole. For those of you who haven't seen A Bug's Life, you haven't seen it in a while. Basically, they have to gather all this food each year for the grasshoppers to eat. And Flick, Dave Foley voiced Ant, is trying to.
So cute. Dave Foley's so cute, and the ant is so cute.
He's trying to create, you know, a better system. So he has, but he fucks up. Flick, buddy, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Spills all the food into a drop of water. I don't know, a pond. And so now they have to get all this food. So he's like basically has to go out and try and figure out what he's going to do about this. But at one point after the grasshoppers have left, before they come back, they cut to, I guess, Mexico. We're supposed to believe the grasshoppers are in Mexico. And Hopper.
This is my favorite part of the movie.
Kevin Spacey's character, is getting a massage. And it was very strange to me that he basically like, he's like, "How old are you?" to the masseuse, and I was like,
"This is a bet. This is a bet." They're doing. I thought you were talking about Richard Kind, and they're drinking, and they're like, they're singing tequila or whatever.
No, I was gonna make a. It was about.
Yeah, you're gonna make it gross.
Yeah,
it was about Kevin Spacey.
It's about Kevin Spacey. Anyway, Bug's Life. Cute movie. I like. Did you know the guy who voiced Heimlich was an early, like one of the early, like main animators, also in voice actors?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Was the co-director on Cars and then died.
Oh, that's the guy that they dedicated.
Yeah, Cars to. Yeah, but he's the voice of Heimlich.
Wow, that's so interesting. He's great in it.
Yeah.
So they hire like a bunch of bugs to like fight back, you know, against the grasshoppers, and it turns.
But it's just a bunch of bugs. Yeah, it's circus bugs from the flea circus.
Yeah, it's all tricks, but it's really it's fun. It's a very sweet movie. It's very fun, and there's good jokes. It's funny.
The rain does feel like it's an extinction level event when the rain comes.
Yeah.
I'm like, none of these bugs are going to survive this.
No.
That's it for the bugs. And Hopper, you know, we do see this often in Pixar. They really let the villain get it eventually. You know, in Toy Story, we see, I mean, Sid probably has to go to an asylum when Woody talks directly to him.
Oh, my God. And it's creepy the way Woody does it, too. Yeah. It's not just the toy talking. It's,
Hopper gets torn apart by this baby birds. Yeah. Remember, she drops him to the babies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
ripped asunder. Ripped asunder.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
He deserved it. He was a bully and also a pedophile or whatever Kevin Spacey is.
Probably. Hopper probably was also, let's be honest.
For sure.
Yeah.
Art imitates life.
However, Disney's big movie of 1998 is Mulan.
When will my reflection show who I am inside? It's going to be a lot of singing on this podcast. Everybody should be buckle up. Buckle up, buddy. Buckaroo. Because there's going to be some singing.
Mulan is the one film of all these animated films that I was finishing, and my wife walked in the room and said, "You watch Mulan without me?"
Yeah.
Furious.
Mulan is a good movie. I think it also didn't do great in the way that like Pocahontas didn't do great.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what I gather, again, this was like a period of time I wasn't really seeing Disney movies. This was like late junior high and to high school. Mulan's 98, so we were freshmen in high school. I should say I do remember seeing A Bug's Life in theaters because I went and saw it with my first girlfriend, and I remember we made out in the movie theater during A Bug's Life.
I can't believe you made out in a movie theater before I made out in a movie theater. That's upsetting to me.
Well, you know, maybe you didn't see A Bug's Life in theaters. You didn't get all horned up. by the dulcet tones of Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
No, it was Kevin Spacey that got you all wrapped up.
It was Dennis Leary as Ladybug. That's what really got me going.
She's also... I mean, he's also great.
But
Mulan is so good.
Like, I don't think I've... To this day, I don't know that I've seen Tarzan. I don't think I've seen Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, this, like, second, like, spell of Disney films after those big four. Like, I remember seeing Lion King because I think that's the last movie I can remember seeing with my parents in theaters. It might be the last movie my parents saw in theaters, honestly, is The Lion King. But I didn't see any of these movies at the time. But I do think in going back, I feel like Mulan and for other people, Hunchback, I feel like those two like stand out and like people have a deeper appreciation than maybe was felt at the time for those films.
I don't remember Hunchback at all.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I just know people that love Hunchback love Hunchback.
I really like Tarzan because of the music. Because, again, they went to one guy and said, make us the music for all of this. And the Phil Collins-ness of it all is, like, great. I'm, like, in the hole for all those songs. But Mulan is much more straightforward, like Disney era, like, the songs follow the, you know, the action of the movie or whatever, and they come fast and hard at you, and it's funny too.
You know what the first thing
certainly
I wrote
in
down
a way that Pocahontas is not. What
I said, it's funny when the mean manners lady catches her butt on fire. And you know what, guys, that's the sort of comment you turn to this podcast for.
What does he say? We'll talk about Eddie Murphy later on, too.
This movie made, like, Eddie Murphy so much money because there's a direct line from Mushu to Donkey.
100% there is. They saw him do Mushu and they were like, we want that for Shrek.
Yeah.
Mushu's such a funny character. But what is he? He's like, he finds out she's not, what is he? She wasn't, what's he said? Like, he finds out something about her, about Mulan, and then he says, like, to the lucky cricket, he's like, what are you, a butt? Like, what does he say? I can't remember the line now.
I don't remember
but it's
the
like,
exact line.
God damn it. I'm going to look it up at some point.
But he probably finds out that Mulan's a woman, right? Because that's the whole conceit of the movie.
Okay, he knew that. And then the grandmother at the end, when she's like, would you like to stay for dinner? And the grandmother's like, would you like to stay forever? It's great. It's very funny.
Can we talk about the scene where Mulan is bathing?
And I don't want to. What? What's
and
happening?
All the men, like, how many dicks do we think Mulan
saw.
Was exposed to that evening?
Oh, right.
Because
it's
just the three, you know, main guys, Harvey Fierstein, and then it's all the other men just running naked into the lake.
Yeah. Too many dicks, one would say.
Yeah. It's a lot.
There is such a thing, and Mulan reached her dick threshold.
She was like, that's it. I'm done.
I love that I was just like, I'm going to tell you the funny thing that Eddie Murphy's character Mushu said, and then I couldn't remember the funny thing.
I think the biggest crime so far of the Disney live action films was remaking Mulan without the music. And just being like,
yeah,
we'll do this, but we're not going to do it as a musical because people just want to see us do like a Crouching Tiger esque movie, but with Mulan.
Yeah, that's absolutely fucking forgivable. Yeah. I hate it too.
Yeah, I got
the music is so. I mean, just like the little. I mean, the Little Mermaid. The music is also amazing. Like,
yeah,
the music is again all these like old school Disney films. The music is the reason for the season.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of these, the music got made before they were like they got the music, you know, underway, and then they were like, we'll build around that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is that's what we're here for. That's crazy to me.
Of course, because it's a trend that we're seeing. Horrible death for the main villain. I mean, after hundreds, thousands of Huns are killed in the avalanche that Mulan starts, she then straps him to a rocket and shoots him into the moon.
Yeah, that rules.
Yeah.
Here's a funny Eddie Murphy line when he's like, "Do you see those Huns? They popped out of the snow like daisies." He says it funnier.
Yeah, yeah. Don't try and do it, though. Don't try and do it the way he does it.
I'm not going to do it the way he does it. I'm going to go ahead and
we'll leave that
myself.
For Robin Williams. We'll get to that.
oh, God.
I did get a little...
That was what I was talking about. Okay.
Did you cry at A Bug's Life?
Craig, I did not cry at A Bug's Life.
I didn't cry at A Bug's Life, but I did get a little teary-eyed when Mulan returns to her father.
100%. The greatest gift and honor is having you for a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
If there was a best animated Oscar in 1998, who would you give it to?
Craig, apologies to Flick, because I do think it's a really cute movie. But it's got to be Mulan.
It's Mulan. Yeah. I agree.
And we didn't talk, I think Ants came out that year too, which is funny.
Ants came out that year, which is another film I don't know if I saw. And again, we've got Woody Allen as the lead ant.
Yeah.
It's tough to revisit some of these films
it's
now.
It's tough to revisit. And even at the time, it looks, and we'll talk about this
just
again.
Just screenshots of
some
it
other
looks
stuff.
So
it,
much worse than the Pixar animation, even though this
the
is
Pixar,
early
animation,
Pixar animation.
Exactly. It's just funny because it's literally starring ants again. It's how these things enter the zeitgeist at the same time.
Yeah.
Is so interesting to me.
It was
but
a big thing
so...
in 98. That's also because that's the year of Armageddon and Deep Impact. So people were just very much like in the same area.
In the same area.
No one talked around town about their projects, I guess.
Nope. No. There was no internet. Well, there was internet.
I mean, it's still happening. But... You know, like the first Omen and Immaculate came out 2 weeks apart. It's both movies are about an American girl, goes to Italy, gets pregnant.
Guys, talk to each other.
Just talk to each other.
Just open those lines of communication. Ants is just like, is kind of, it just, it looks gross. Like it is one of those questions, one of those things. Even at the time when it came out, I remember seeing it and being like, who is this movie for? Because it's not really for, it's not, a kid wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then it's like, it's not that, it's not.
The other movie that I've never seen that I know people like from 1998, The Prince of Egypt, also came out in 1998, but not a film
good
I'm
song.
Familiar with. So
good song, good Whitney song. There.
Yeah.
But I'm not that into it.
Yeah. 1999. Toy
so
Story.
Only one for Pixar because we both gave it to Mulan.
We both gave it to Mulan, so they would have one so far if the Oscars existed at that period for the animated films. Toy Story 2.
Diminishing returns.
Interesting. I think this is a step up for me.
Really?
Yeah.
From Toy Story to Toy Story 2?
You know why? Because I think it's funnier. I think the jokes are sharper in Toy Story 2. I think that's the main thing.
That
I
might
like
be true.
That may be true.
I think maybe I have like a certain... After Toy Story 2, they sort of stopped adding characters as much. I mean, there's a few new ones, but like Toy Story 2 felt like much more of a departure. There was like a whole other host of characters to care about. And they separated Woody and Buzz more.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of the fun of Toy Story for me, is their interplay.
Sure.
So I didn't love that. It's still very good.
I think there's a lot of good bits. Like I love the Rex Jurassic Park bit.
Yeah.
Just great.
That's fun.
When he's chasing their car. And I love, so there's a joke they make when they're in the toy store looking for Woody about how there weren't enough Buzz Lightyear dolls, which actually happened in 1995. They lost a ton of money on merchandise because they didn't realize Toy Story was going to be such a big hit. And people like wanted Buzz Lightyear toys and the company just did not put out enough of them. So like it was like it was like a Furby-esque, Tickle Me Elmo-esque, like run
like
on these things.
On these. Wow, that's so interesting. I did not.
I had to look it up because I was like, I wonder if that's an actual thing. And I looked it up and I found an article all about how they think they've lost hundreds of millions of dollars by not putting out enough Buzz Lightyear dolls.
That's interesting. Well, the stuff I feel like they hit more emotional levels in this with the introduction of
Jesse.
Joan Cusack's Jesse, the female version of Woody who has been tossed asunder. I'll say it right now, I cried.
That's where I cried too, Meg.
Sorry, I cried.
I cried, and that's the segment right there. And you know what? I was watching it on my iPad on lunch at work, and someone came by and said, Toy Story? And I said, Toy Story 2. And they said, did you get to the Jesse scene yet? And I was like, no, it hasn't happened yet. Yeah. And she was like, if I'm here, don't tell me because I don't want to cry. Like she was like, I'll be fully in sobs here at work.
Yeah.
So
it's a very the song is who sings the song? It's when somebody loves you. Yeah. Everything. Oh my God, I can't sing it. It's gonna make me sad. It's gonna make me cry. It's very sad.
Yeah. You know what else is sad? It didn't make me cry.
I hate these dumb movies.
But it's low-key very sad is when they paint over his foot, when the collector paints over the Andy.
Oh, yeah, that is also very sad. It didn't make me cry, but it does make me emotional, too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I still prefer the original, I think. Maybe because I don't want to fucking cry like an idiot.
What about at the end, though, when Buzz's wings fly out and it's supposed to be because we think he has an erection?
Yeah, that is upsetting. That is upsetting. This is a movie for children.
I think
away with a lot more stuff.
Yeah, I do think the outtakes are funny. In particular, I love the Bug's Life outtake.
Yeah.
Where they're there
it's
and they're talking
they
about
start...
they're filming a sequel, but they're like, well, it's a sequel. It's not a Bug's Life 2.
It's funny how they really start referencing each other like pretty early on.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how they start referencing the other movies.
Should we talk about a couple other animated movies from 1998?
Mm-hmm. Please.
Okay, so let's talk about this one first, because then I want to talk about one of the critical faves of 98. Let's talk about the South Park movie, really briefly, which I think was kind of a sensation, because South Park, obviously, at the time, was sort of a sensation. It was pretty early on. Robin Williams famously, of course, sang Blame Canada at the Oscars, because the song was nominated for Best Song. This movie,
not the best song in the movie, by the way. Should it, Uncle Fucker, but I understand why.
That movie absolutely would not be able to be released by a studio today.
Absolutely not.
Like, I know South Park's still kind of doing its thing. I don't watch that show anymore, but I know that stuff's, like, it still exists, like, on Comedy Central, Max, Paramount, wherever it airs. But it's crazy to me to think that, like, that went out as like a major, I feel like us watching it at that time would be very similar to them watching the Terrence and Phillip movie in the movie. Just being like, wow,
like,
can't believe
what?
You got
Whoa,
away with
I can't
this.
Believe they could. Yeah. You know, I have watched South Park more recently. like I've watched some of the more recent seasons, and it's, again, it's always been really, well, I guess that's not true. I was like, it's very topical now. It's all like, just like sort of, you know, everything is like, I think during the pandemic in particular, they started doing like, it's all just Mr. Garrison is Trump.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like literally like, well, in talks this, like him.
Looks in
like
this
him.
Movie, Sheila Breflowski is Libs of TikTok. She is that, whatever her name is, Sharna, yeah, or whatever, like that, like literally, yeah, is her character. I was like, oh
yeah. Yeah. I mean, those guys are like libertarians. They're like, yeah, very like, just, you know, shots all around. I don't think it holds up in the same way, in no, the same way that the show for me sort of became, again, diminishing returns. I'm, yeah, like, I get what you're doing, but like,
There are definitely,
maybe
parts
also
of it.
Me being like, the sides are not the same. Like, it's,
yeah, there, like, are parts that I still thought are funny, but it definitely was something that, like, relived going back. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't like this as much as I, yeah, remember.
As I once did. Yeah. 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 I think the Satan stuff is still kind of fun.
Yeah. And I think it's funny when he throws up in Wendy's face all the time because he loves her. That's,
yeah,
that's funny. That's something I understand. Like, that's something I, yeah, can, like, it feels like me. I'm seeing myself on screen, so.
Well, that girl that you made out with A Bug's Life, like, she got a mouthful of your vomit, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One assumes. One can, yeah, only assume.
Okay, we're not talking about Happy Feet yet, so.
We got to get to it, because I need to spend at least an hour and a half, yeah, talking about Happy Feet.
The other big movie from 1998, which won the Annie for 98, I think Toy Story 2 won in 99, because, like I said, the release schedule, but The Iron Giant.
So I have to tell you something, and I'm really embarrassed. I did not get a chance to rewatch The Iron Giant, and we own it. And I think that's why I, like, put it off, and then I had an audition this morning, so I didn't get a chance to rewatch The Iron Giant. But I remember I have seen it before, yeah, and in the last 10 years, and I loved it.
It's great. Like,
and I cried.
It's a great, great film, obviously, about, like, the nuclear age and U.S. versus the USSR at the time. And my biggest problem, I guess, with the movie is that they named their son, she named her son Hogarth.
Hogarth.
Which just feels wrong.
No. Why would you do that?
Speaking of
kids. But the Iron Giant is cute. And when he thinks that the kid is dead, I was very upset.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Unfortunately voiced by Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. We just didn't have an eye for it,
guys.
Then. Yeah.
No, we didn't. No.
Do
you like this movie?
I like this movie quite a bit. I can't remember if I cried. I think maybe I teared up a little bit. I wouldn't say I had tears falling, but it's a very good film. I mean, this is probably maybe the hardest decision for me would be Toy Story 2 versus The Iron Giant. But I would say if there was an Oscar in 1999. I would give it to Toy Story 2.
Wow.
The Toy Story 2. I would give it to the Toy Story 2.
Just. It's Toy Story 2 and The Iron Giant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to abstain on this one because I haven't seen The Iron Giant. So I will go with you and, yep, I will say Toy Story 2. We can give it to Pixar. But I've got to revisit. I got to revisit The Iron Giant. But that's not what this is about anyway. It's about ranking the things. And
yeah, it eventually is really...
Toy Story,
yeah.
Toy Story 2 is really good, and it did make me cry.
Yeah. So that brings us to the actual Oscars. So these next four movies,
ding, ding, ding,
from 2001 to 2006, this is a period of time where, you know, there actually was an award. So the very first Oscar animated thing, the nominees that we're going to talk about, well, Monsters, Inc. is the Pixar film, and it lost. Pixar, who a lot of people probably would say was one of the driving forces for this happening, mm-hmm, especially since Disney Animation is kind of in a dip by the time it actually comes across, loses to Shrek from DreamWorks. So let's talk about Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc. slaps. Monsters, Inc. is I think I want to. I was going to say underrated, but I don't think that's true. I think people love Monsters. Well, people, especially people that love, yeah, like, people love Monsters.
I think
Inc.
people love Monsters Inc. And I mean, obviously, you have a real affection for this film because this was one of the first times you felt like you saw yourself portrayed on film.
In that I was as, I'm as adorable as Boo. Correct.
No, I was talking about the character of Roz.
Did you fill out your paperwork? That's a pretty good impression.
That's a pretty good impression of you when you're working at 200 South, the casting studio, making sure the cam ops are going to get paid.
Did you fill out your paperwork? That character is very funny. Also, fucking Mike Wazowski. Like, I see why kids would like this movie, because it's, yeah, like, it's so fun. Like, what a again, this is when I say this is another one of, like, with Toy Story, where, like, the you just made it a very simple conceit, right? Like, monsters scare kids.
Great premise for a movie.
What a great premise. What an awesome, fun thing. For
is it
screen.
The same? Because I don't remember. I remember the show. What was the premise of Aw Real Monsters? Do you remember?
No, I think the premise was just they were monsters.
Okay.
I think that was it. Yeah. Yeah. Crumb, the guy that, like, held his little
held his eyeballs
above his head, and, yeah, he had crazy armpit hair. Love that guy. Yeah. I think it's just they just, like, lived in the sewer and were monsters.
So they were like it.
But this is like they were like, yeah, they were like its. They, like, murdered kids.
Yeah.
But this sort of stuff is so, like, in the beginning when they're showing them walking to work and, like, the city of Monstropolis or whatever is so, like, the guy sneezes and burns up his paper and, mm-hmm, you know, just, like, stuff like that. And then after work, he's like, oh, you got any, he's going to the date, Mike, and he says to Sully, like, do you have any odorant? Odorant.
Yeah.
Not deodorant, odorant.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I got a wet dog. I got, you know, garbage pile. I'm like, this, like, again, following the, like, if that, then what thing, right, is so, it makes, it's so fun. And there's so many more opportunities for jokes. And then when the little girl comes in, who's the cutest little girl. I mean, this movie to me also hit in a hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Because that little girl is so cute and she calls Sully Kitty.
I know. And Megan, can I tell you, when I cried was the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when when they've rebuilt the door that they've destroyed, mm-hmm, after, I would say the only part of this movie, I think the chase sequence goes on too long. It gets a little tedious.
I agree. With Steve Buscemi.
With Steve Buscemi.
Is a great villain too, by the way. Really fun.
Yeah. But they destroy the door after they get Boo back to her bedroom. And then Mike.
So he can't ever see her again.
And then Mike rebuilds the door so Sully can go back. And he opens the door and she just says, Kitty. And the way he
you never see her.
And the way he lights up got me.
By the way, me talking about it, I'm crying. It's so cute. It's so cute and so sweet.
Also,
did
you notice that one of the toys that
is a Jesse.
Is a
Jesse
Nemo
toy.
And a Nemo.
And a Nemo, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, again, they're referencing. Yeah, referencing.
I also love
really
at the end when they realize that the reason they do the scaring is because the screams of children provides energy to the town. But then they realize that making them laugh provides even more energy. And I love Mike's bad stand-up routine.
Yes. We're coming from your room. Huh? Is this thing on? It's really funny. It's really funny. And then he just does the stupid physical comedy bit. And then there's a guy, did you notice too? There's like walking and it's like a Gallagher analog. He has like a big mallet and like a watermelon too. And like, it's just it's very clever. It's a really clever movie. And again, it packs an emotional punch. Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about Shrek.
Shrek. It's such a, I think it became such a joke too. When I first moved to LA, there were so many, it's like been retcon, I don't know, like in the alt comedy community.
You
it was
also
such like
you
a,
you dated Shrek for a while.
I'm married Shrek, you know what I'm talking about?
When you got to the UCB, He was on a mod team, and you really wanted to get in, so mm-hmm. you and so Shrek baited for a while.
Again, clever.
And then he ended up marrying like a 19-year-old, though, right?
And she did not look like an ogre, but you know, but that's Hollywood. That's far away for you.
That's far away for you, baby. Mm-hmm.
They're like princesses. The second one, they're all like, princesses don't marry like gross old guys. I'm like, no, that's like kind of, you've seen William and Kate? That's kind of like exclusively who they marry.
Come on now. I loved this movie in 2001. Like, I remember how much I loved this film. And similar in a different way, it didn't hold up for me as much.
No. I think it's clever.
Yeah.
But it's not funny. I'm not like, ha ha, funny laughing. And it does not have the emotional, like, depth and the emotional heft that Monsters, Inc. does.
You know who secretly is the best voice performance of Shrek?
I don't know.
It's John Lithgow.
Oh, yeah. John Lithgow's so good in it.
Yeah.
John Lithgow's great in everything. And also, supposedly, a very nice guy.
I was once a volunteer usher at a theater piece in Brooklyn because it was sold out and I wanted to see it. And someone that we went to college with was the house manager. And she was like, I can get you in, but you have to volunteer usher. That's the only way. And John Lithgow and his wife were there. And he had to come back into the theater afterwards while I was like picking up the programs and stuff because his wife had left her hat. And he was very nice. When they came back in to get their hat.
Dida. Voila. Dida. Yeah. I think Eddie Murphy's very funny in this, too. Like, much Donkey's funny. Like, Mushu was funny.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else about Shrek.
It's funny when the dragon punches through the stained glass window of Lord Farquaad.
Yeah.
This is after she has eaten him.
Yeah. That is funny. I forget what else I was going to say about Shrek. It's such a, I don't know, it's such a specific thing now.
Yeah. I like Shrek, but if I was going to give out the first animated Oscar in 2001, I gave it to Monsters, Inc.
And we cried. So.
So.
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc. 2003. Finding Nemo.
Nemo. This is my niece's favorite of the Pixars, uh-huh. I was asking. She's two.
Yeah.
And it's very funny because she has no interest in any other movie, period, full stop. It's only about Nemo.
This movie, scary at points.
It is.
I'm surprised she's not.
It is scary.
Opening is, I had completely forgotten how traumatic the opening is.
Yeah, when Nemo gets taken.
No, when Nemo's the only one to survive, the very opening.
Oh, only one to survive. Yes.
When Marlin's wife and his 400 other children are ruthlessly murdered by a predator fish.
Yeah, that is upsetting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they fast forward through that part. I wonder if they
skip. Probably. I would.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
It's pretty fucked up. It is pretty fucked up, though, when he's taken, too.
Yeah. I like early on when he meets his friends, and Marlin obviously is freaking out, and he has, you know, he has his bad fin, but then the other one's like, I love the line when they're like all talking about it and they're like, well, I have one shorter tentacle. And one of the kids like, I'm H2O intolerant. And then the third one goes, I'm obnoxious. Like, that's good writing. That's a good punchline, you know? That's set them up and you knock them down.
The fish aren't food bit is funny too. The sharks,
like
could be a scary thing. And then it's still. Well,
I like the running gag of Marlin's joke that he keeps like trying to tell his joke like the whole mm-hmm. movie, but he can't mm-hmm. like do it. And people expect him to be funny because he's a clownfish.
Yep, that's fun. The seagulls, I think, is a very funny bit, too. A very simple bit, but just them saying, mine, 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 mine.
Yeah. And again, you know, we're going to see someone, don't they like tear somebody apart eventually? Yeah, they do, right? Like, who is it at the end? Like, it's like a crab or something?
Oh.
Or I guess he only gets threatened. Yeah. They threaten him with that.
They threaten him, yeah.
So we need to talk about Dory because, you know, fun in the movie, I hear that Dory, despite seeming so affable, an absolute terror on set.
I will say, like, it does affect your... Already, I was not... Well, I'm sure we'll get to Finding Dory, which I don't... I didn't like. And that was before all the Ellen stuff had been made public. Dory is not as fun a character as I think this movie thinks she is.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, I'm not that into it. My niece loves it, thinks it's very funny, but she's also two, so she doesn't know shit.
Right.
But it is funny watching it again, how like it's really, it's not, yeah, it's not as fun knowing that she sucks kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah. Does Nemo.
And I don't think that character is that fun.
Yeah. Does Nemo almost die too much? Are we putting him in too much peril in this film?
I mean, that's kind of the point of the movie.
As the mother of a son. Did you like seeing him in so much peril?
Here's the thing. I don't... he's a fish.
So you're... Wait.
And you know who likes to eat some fish? I eat.
Shrek.
I eat the fish. I'm basically... I am a Shrek.
Yeah. Well...
And then I'll just, like, mow it down.
Yeah. Okay. Well... So,
but seriously, I don't. I'm less emotional about. Well, then I say that. I don't know.
Did you?
I don't know.
Did you cry during Finding Nemo?
I did not.
Megan, I did not cry during Finding Nemo.
We are in alignment here.
Yeah,
our two. You cried at the same. I mean, I guess it's almost like these things are meant to make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
But like we cried at the same places and have not cried in the same movies.
Yeah. So I think probably. The biggest competitor, because it also got nominated for Best Song that year at the Oscars, which means clearly there were people that really liked this film, was The Triplets of Belleville, which I had never seen
prior
to this.
Wow, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. Barely a movie, by the way, 78 minutes.
Yeah, this movie, I would say, has real Miyazaki energy to it, I would say. I think
yes, in that it looks kind of
the animation style is
the animation
similar.
Looks gross.
Yeah, it looks gross. I think that the opening segment of this movie, which barely has anything to do with the film itself, is absolutely insane. I was like, "What am I watching?" But then I watched the rest of the movie, and I was like, "I wish it had been more like that." At least I found that beginning bit like shocking, because the movie itself, I didn't really care for. Outside of the opening and like the last 15 minutes or so, like I liked, but most of the rest of it, I just didn't care for.
I think the chase.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
like
about.
Yeah, the chase was kind of fun. The rest of it, I was like, what is happening here? There's almost no dialogue. I mean, what dialogue there is in French.
Yeah. And it's not subtitled. I don't know. Yeah.
I do speak French, though.
I know. It was fine for you. And there's not a lot of dialogue, so it's not like you can't like follow the story.
Follow it. But it's at one point, it's like a grandmother, it's about a grandmother and her grandson who grows up to become like a cyclist in the Tour de France and then is kidnapped.
Yeah.
And she gets helped getting him back from these three old women who were performers like in the 20s or something.
Yeah.
It's like
the Triplets of Belleville.
The Triplets of Belleville of the title.
Why they help this woman, I'm not sure.
Why they help, we'll never know. No. Old ladies got to help old ladies. They are so gross. And they, again, I've had frog legs. It's not. That is not what grosses me out. She blows them up out of the water, and then the way that they eat these frogs and then tadpoles for dessert, is so disgusting to me. I was like, this is, what is happening? This is so gross. It's kind of a gross movie. Yeah, I guess, is my take.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, the movie opens with like these triplets of Belleville, like originally performing on stage, and then they leave the stage and a Josephine Baker comes on stage, really, and then gets like
stereotyped,
basically like sexually assaulted by the men in the audience.
And then like a Fred Astaire type comes. It's odd.
Also, at one point they use the dog as a wheel, and I was like, the fuck? Come on now. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like
that. I know
that.
The dog Bruno. Is, I know this dog is fine with it, but.
Also, the dog is extremely obese to the point where it's like,
yeah.
Like, you're not taking care of that dog.
No, you're just letting him eat like trash, probably.
Yeah.
I think the animation is spectacular. I think the story is deranged. Wasn't for me, Meg. Triplets of Belleville, nope. Not for me.
Not for me. Agreed.
If you had to give the Oscar from 2003 to one of these two films, which would you go with?
I'd give it to Finding Nemo.
I would also give it to Finding Nemo, and that is who won the Oscar.
It's not my favorite Pixar.
No.
By a long shot. But I'd give it to Finding Nemo.
Yeah. And that was the first Pixar to win, because that was, you know, only the third year they had the animated Oscar. Pixar didn't have a movie in 2002 when Spirited Away won, which when we started talking about doing this, Megan was like, there's other movies I want to definitely talk about, like Spirited Away. And I was like, unfortunately, that did not go against a Pixar film. So
too bad. Because Spirited Away, another kind of gross movie that I love.
Right.
That's so good. And it's a little creepy and weird and the animation style or whatever. But like, that's why I want to be clear about Triplets of Belleville. I'm not predisposed to like hate stuff because it's like
weird,
kind of gross,
right.
Like and weird. Sometimes that works really, really well. Like in the case of Spirited Away or some other Miyazaki stuff and some other animated stuff. But Triplets of Belleville, not it.
Yeah. 2004, The Incredibles.
This movie. I get why kids like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. This movie is a very well-crafted movie. It's very, like, tight. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a very, like, so this is a story about a family of superheroes.
Yes.
And I was watching it, and I was like, I think a huge part of the reason why, I remember liking it when it came out, but not loving it.
Yeah.
And then rewatching it, a huge kind of, like, ding on it is I just have superhero fatigue.
Sure.
And
now it's weird
not
because
the movie's fault.
Yeah, this is before.
Yes.
You know, this is before Batman Begins. The MCU.
Yeah.
You know, we've had like X-Men, we've had Spider-Man, but we have not had like this influx of, you know, six times a year, there's a comic book movie you have to go see.
Yeah.
But I get it.
Show. I finally finished Loki season two, and it felt like a chore. And I really loved, like, I love that character.
Yeah.
And I think what they just really make you try to, like, really trying to get me to give a shit about the lore.
Right.
And I just don't. Like, that's not what is interesting to me about superheroes.
And I remember you texted me and you were like, I wasn't going to finish this, but we need to support Jonathan Majors right now.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but he's a very special man.
Yeah.
He's a great man. He's going to do great things, and he just needs all the great people behind him.
Yeah.
So, you know, get in line.
I forgot that this movie starts, so that the conceit of the movie is superheroes have basically been banned because they cause too much
right, I had forgotten
destruction,
that too.
But that the main thing is because Mr. Incredible thwarts a suicide attempt, and the man sues him
because he
for
wanted
ruining
to die.
His death.
Pretty dark
for a
kid's movie.
Yeah.
Pretty dark for a kid's movie.
And then they go about exposing the evils of the insurance industry. Which I appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too. A lot of this movie feels not for kids. Like even the jokes of like there's a lot of family, like unhappy wife and like the dad gained weight. And
yeah. Because at first it's like, yeah, they have three kids, but they do still love to fuck. Like they make that pretty clear. And then he just gets like, you know, down
Again,
about
this
it.
Movie's for children. Yeah. Okay.
Obviously, Edna Mode is great.
That character is so fucking funny, and it's voiced by Brad Bird,
yeah.
Who directed it, who directed a bunch of these. Respect, because that character is very funny.
Yeah.
She's like a fashion designer that makes all the outfits for the superheroes, and that she was really making me laugh. Jason Lee is the bad guy,
yeah.
And
a super fan of Mr. Incredible, who feels spurned by him as a child, so he becomes a super villain, and then just starts killing superheroes.
There's a lot of killing, and she says, Holly Hunter.
I mean, even like
National Treasure.
Yeah. Well, can we talk about Elastigirl? Because Mama's thick.
Thick. She's got to have all that extra to stretch it out,
yeah.
You know?
But she's got ass and thighs for days.
For days. With a Z. Yeah, she looks good. And she's voiced by Holly Hunter. I mean,
come on.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Every single time. but she says to the kids, she's like, they will kill you. I'm like, damn. And they don't, and it's guns too. That's the other thing too that I guess in kids' movies, I'm always very, and again, I'm not that mom who's going to be like, you can't play whatever.
Right.
But it is jarring to see guns in a kids' animated movie. That's all.
We do get Chekhov's force field, which is a nice thing. And you know what,
yep.
Meg? I wouldn't say I cried in this movie, but I would say that's the closest it got me. Is
yeah,
when she's
she,
like,
when
that's
Violet,
my girl. After Violet, like, puts up the force field to save them.
Yeah. Yeah, that made me emotional. I did not cry.
Yeah. I do.
Craig, I did not cry at The Incredibles.
Yeah. I do love the cape montage, and I love that it gets called back at the end.
Yeah,
where we see another person killed horribly.
Yeah.
By being sucked into a jet turbine.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
And this whole bit about that is really funny. I like when he goes to see her and he's on the video screaming and she's like, God, you got fat.
Yeah. So it's competing against Shrek 2.
Shrek 2 is a wild ride.
Yeah. I think Shrek 2 is funnier than Shrek and similar to...
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it's funnier than The Incredibles.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. Funnier, yeah.
I think there's some funny bits in... what's her name from Absolutely Fabulous?
Jennifer Saunders.
Jennifer Saunders plays the villain. And she's pretty funny.
She's funny.
In it.
And Antonio Banderas...
Yeah,
Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots. I mean, I get why they made another movie.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Puss in Boots is funny, and you know.
Can I ask you a question?
I like it
because I do feel like it sort of falls a little bit into maybe your type. Was Shrek that hot as a man when he gets turned into a man?
No.
See, that was the same thing I thought.
My God,
I was like, why do these women like? I could see Fiona still loving him because he's got the heart of Shrek, which is what she fell in love with. But when all the other women are like fawning over him, I was like, not that hot.
It's so funny to me. Hotness in, oh my God, I could talk about hotness in animated characters for days. Shrek is not hot. Also not hot, Prince Charming.
Hmm.
I don't like blondes though.
Right.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah. Famously.
Hottest animated character of all time. You ready? Are you guys ready? Is everybody ready?
We're ready.
Dimitri from Anastasia. You want him a little scruffy,
mm-hmm.
longer, kind of like a little bit longer hair, tall, dark, handsome. And he's voiced by John Cusack, which helps. Dimitri. Dimitri for life. Dimitri's hot as hell. And like they have like the arguing thing. Anyway, Dimitri. Shrek in this is not, it's also very, he's very muscular,
yeah.
And that's not a thing for, I think that's the thing too.
Right.
It's like, it's the he's so built and that's just not, it doesn't look, his head looks so tiny compared to the rest of his body.
Yeah.
Fiona, female, like human version of Fiona, gorgeous.
Gorge.
Lovely.
Gorge.
Yeah. I liked resting my eyes, not to be a real King Harold about it. not to be a real fairy godmother about it, but I liked resting my eyes on the human version of her versus the ogre version.
Too many fart gags. You know what? You got to have fart jokes. Yeah. They work, but they got to be good. You can't just keep throwing them in there. Like,
yeah, agreed.
Come on. I did like the bit where the Starbucks gets blown up and they all run across the street to another Starbucks. I was like, that's Starbucks, a very funny bit, particularly for 2004.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Craig, it's called Farbucks.
Farbucks, sorry. Far, far away Farbucks. They're far, far away.
They love, my problem with this movie is there's a lot of like contemporary, this became like, this is like when the jukebox musical started to become a thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't need to, I love Jennifer Saunders, like her singing Hero, or like they get to Far, Far Away and it's Funky Town playing. And I just, I'm kind of like,
yeah, right. Yeah, come on.
I don't need any of that. And like, let's get to more jokes, yeah. I guess.
More jokes. Just give us more jokes. That's why we're here.
Just get some writers to punch it up. Have some more jokes.
Megan, it's 2004. What would you give the best animated Oscar to?
This is the hardest thing for me because I don't love The Incredibles.
Yeah.
I think I would do, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't, either one is fine. So I go with whatever you say. What do you say?
I think I go The Incredibles.
I think I would too, because Shrek
it's definitely close.
It's close.
I'm tempted to say Shrek 2 because we took Shrek's actual Oscar. But
yeah,
but you know what? I'm not going to. The Incredibles.
Me too. I'm tempted to do it because it's a little funnier to me than The Incredibles is.
Right.
But I think The Incredibles is a tighter movie.
Yeah.
Shrek 2 is just, they also like, the plot of Shrek 2 is kind of based off like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yes.
But then they kind of get like wonky with it, and it's like, and they overcomplicate it, and it's like,
it's
no,
like if it was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but then there was a potion that made Sidney Poitier white.
Yeah. It's that. Yeah. And you know what, they should have just kept it. Yeah. Should have just kept him ogres.
Yeah. All right, 2006, it's the last one we're going to be doing for part one. There have been 27 Pixar movies. We're going to do this in four parts. The fourth part will be right around the time Inside Out 2 comes out, so we'll be able to talk about that movie, hopefully. Cars.
Hey, Craig, I had never seen this before.
I will tell you, I have seen, the only Pixar movie I've never seen before is Cars 3.
Interesting.
So I would say that Cars, obviously, in the world, along with Toy Story, very, very much money for Pixar. It
big
makes
time.
Big money for Pixar. People love, children love Cars.
Children, here's what I've learned having a child.
Cars, I would say, is probably the least embraced.
Yes.
Of the series, Pixar's stuff.
Here's what I'll say about having had a child.
Yeah.
Kids love Cars.
Yeah.
Kids love Cars, the mode of transportation,
yeah.
the machines, and they love the movie
Cars.
I was watching Cars,
yeah,
and Harry is not really allowed. Not allowed. He's one, so he doesn't know what the fuck he's watching if he's watching TV. So he doesn't really watch TV. We don't show him TV, but he came into the living room when I was watching Cars. I've never seen a reaction like this. He's only been around a year, but I've literally never seen, stuck his thumb in his mouth and stared at the screen like it was a god, like Lightning McQueen is his new god.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, took his thumb out of his mouth and crawled to get closer to the screen.
He took his thumb out of
so
his
that
mouth,
formula,
he looked you dead in the eye and he went,
yeah,
ka-chow.
Is that the best fucking catchphrase they could come up with, by the way? I feel like that was a placeholder where they were like, not this, but like,
well,
something.
Well, it is
like
funny
because
I just saw Kung Fu Panda 4, just because I see every movie, but I've never seen another Kung Fu Panda movie. And I was like, oh, ka-chow is the skadoosh. Like, it's just
skadoosh.
Like, everyone's like, we can just make two sounds and children will love it.
Yeah. And they do.
Yeah. And then they're like, and we'll cast the guy colors. Who already has his like stupid catchphrase, and we'll let him do it in the movie. Yeah. Get her done.
Get her done. The big eyes and the bright colors and all that shit is, I get what they're doing. I get, well played, yep. Pixar, well played. I didn't dislike this movie as much as in the way that I thought I was going to. Again, no. As somebody who doesn't care about cars, yeah. The mode of transportation,
yeah,
don't care.
No, it's fine. I have questions about it. I don't understand why tractors are cows in this world. That doesn't really make sense to me. It doesn't, doesn't track. I did think of your husband when, Luigi's like, do you know any Ferraris?
Yeah. I yelled in the other room. Oh my God, they're talking about your movie.
it made me think of Radiator Springs, which is a great Cars ride in Disneyland.
Great Cars ride in Disneyland. And the whole land is kind of fun.
Did you know?
No, but I agree with that. That's why like Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. The world is so, it's weird, but it's so specific because I'm like, well, it's like you follow the if then, you know, whatever. But yeah, there's the cars are cars, but then they ride in other cars.
Yeah.
In like, did you know this was strange? And
this was Paul Newman's second to last role.
I did not know that, but I did know he died soon. Yeah. What was his last role?
He voiced a meerkat in the film Meerkats, which I believe was just like basically like documentary footage, and then they had people pretending like they were the meerkats. The best part about
Have you seen pictures? Have you seen pictures, like old pictures of like young Paul Newman?
You seen like all these people like being like not knowing he was an actor, like posting things being like the salad dressing guy was so hot and
so hot. Yeah. It's like you're
ladies
like,
ladies and gentlemen, why do we have
go watch
schools?
The Sting? Yeah, I know. If you're not showing people the Sting in, you know, starting in the fifth grade, I don't know what we're doing.
How are women discovering their sexuality without watching Cool Hand Luke? I don't understand.
Yeah. Although for me, a young Harrison Ford does it more.
Right. Yeah.
I cried. Did you cry?
Oh, I did not cry in this movie.
I cried.
Great. My cried. Favorite part of this movie is the, did you stay long enough to watch all of the toy car story?
Yes.
And the Bugs Life
truck. Yeah. A Bug's Life. And it's just it's a VW bug.
Yeah. You're a toy car.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
I cried at, there's the town, the song is called Our Town and it's James Taylor written for the movie. And I cried.
So I wrote when that song started playing, I was like, this is a little Make America Cars Again, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's like, it is. It feels very down home to me in a not great way.
Yeah.
But I still cried.
All right. Well, we need to wrap it up. So let's spend an hour and a half talking about Happy Feet.
Oh my God. I can't believe I don't have time to talk about Happy Feet in the way I want to talk about Happy Feet.
What is this movie? This movie won, by the way. This won the Academy Award in 2006.
This movie, if you haven't seen it, stop listening to this and go.
Unfortunately, you have to rent it. You can't. It does not stream on any streamers. You'll have to go rent it for $4.
Totally understandable, because who the fuck is this movie fucking for? This movie is about
penguins finding their heart song. Penguins sing.
Right.
And because Hugh Jackman, who plays a Elvis impersonator named Memphis Penguin, who drops his egg so his son can't sing when he's born, Mumbles is his son's name, he can only dance. He can only tap dance.
Nicole Kidman is the mom.
What is this vocal performance?
She's know.
Just talking
She's talking
off her.
Like this. Oh, hi.
He's doing Elvis and she's doing like Marilyn Monroe.
Her name is Norma Jean.
Oh, okay. That's why.
So she is.
Oh my God. I did not put that together.
Now,
I did not put that together.
Australians are obsessed with Elvis Presley.
Yeah, that's right. Because
Baz Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann
George
did the.
Miller.
Yeah. I found we should point out,
if you don't know, this is a movie from George Miller.
George Miller, Mad Max Fury Road.
Who only does Mad Max films and children's films that are for someone, like Babe and Happy Feet.
Yeah, Babe.
There are consistent moments in this movie where it's like the a cappella off scenes from Pitch Perfect, where people are just like singing at each other, but there's no real reason for the songs they're singing.
Nope.
And I'm assuming,
and again, it's
her
a jukebox.
Song is like an original song, is it? I don't know her song. I think that's an original
song. I don't know her
one.
Song. I think it must have been an original song. But then she also sings, and then Fat Joe is like is another penguin, and he's like,
who, by the way,
sometimes it makes me run a who is going under. I'm like, what is happening?
Happy Feet 2, he's replaced by Common. We should also point out, and this is important, Robin Williams plays two roles in this film. He voices...
No, more than that, I think.
No, he just does two. Well, the narrator, I think, is Lovelace.
Okay. Okay, Lovelace is... both of them
are problematic. Lovelace is a black penguin.
Yes.
Robin Williams doing his famous comedic stand-up, I'm talking on black scent voice. And Ramon, who is a Latino penguin.
Yeah.
I would say it doesn't work for me today, dog.
No. It is a no. It's a hard no for me, dog. It's also like a 2 hour plus movie. It's long.
Yeah. It does, like, at one point it gets really dark. He gets, like, Mumbles gets taken to a zoo. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then all of a sudden he's just out of the zoo because he tap danced at the zoo.
He tap danced, and then they gave him the world's most obvious tracker on his back. Yeah. And then, and this is the other thing, too, that this movie does that's, like, really wild, is it mixes animated and live action.
Yeah.
Like, the humans in the movie are
humans. But we only see them a few times, yeah.
Yes. But then at the end, it's all about like, we're going to stop. They like are arguing. The humans decide they're going to stop overfishing around Antarctica.
But because of the tap dancing penguins.
Because of the tap dancing penguins.
And there's a whole like religious aspect to it.
I'm like, babe, you've never met humans because they're not going
to
do that. That's not what happens.
I'm so glad you felt the same way. You texted me, I was asleep. You texted me like at midnight my time to be like, what am I watching? And that's how I felt the entire time I watched it. I told you this, but when I was watching it at work, someone came up and was like, Happy Feet. It's so weird that the guy who made Fury Road made this. And I was like, this movie is so much weirder than Fury Road.
Times a thousand. I mean, the performances alone are super bananas. It also looks like, again, when I'm like, who's this movie for? You cannot tell the penguins apart, except for Mumbles, who looks like Mumbles from fucking Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Like he's like washed out or whatever. He looks crazy. The rest of them and the Robin Williams, and then some Robin Williams characters are like the different kinds of penguins.
Yeah.
But all the Emperor penguins look the same.
Yeah.
So when it's like his like love interest or his mom or his dad, I cannot tell them apart until they talk.
And yeah,
I guess maybe that's why they have wild voices. But it just is like it looks strange. It doesn't look great. It like the songs that they choose are strange to sing.
It's almost like they just were like, "Hey, what can we get rights for?" And I'll just figure out a way to get it in the movie.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And they banish him for dancing. Kind of never explained why they think it angers the gods. No. Yeah, there's like a weird religious.
Yeah.
I'm not done talking about it. I could not make heads or tails.
Well, we have to go. You have to go. So we're going to have to shut this down. We'll have to come back and talk more about Happy Feet before we jump into part two of Pixar, which I think the next four movies is the best run that Pixar has.
Oh, but for sure.
Yeah.
Totally, totally agree. Can we talk?
2006. Megan, would you have given the Oscar to Cars or to Happy Feet?
To Cars, Craig. To Cars. And I never thought I would say that.
Yeah.
To Cars.
Yeah.
Happy Feet needs to be wiped off the face of the planet. It made me upset.
Yeah.
It upset me.
Yeah. Yeah. I loathed
this
movie. Like, I viscerally at moments, like, when particularly anytime they started singing again, I would feel myself like flinch, like what's happening?
Getting
Why
mad.
Are they doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he would try to sing and he's like a bad, but like a bad singer to the point where it's like, you're just screaming.
Yeah. He like, just like start penguin like honking. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And so then people get like, they're like, take a flying leap. They basically are like, you should kill yourself. You can't fucking sing. I'm like, what is this movie?
Yeah.
Why didn't people tell me about this movie?
Yeah. It's not good. Don't.
Why don't people talk? People should talk about this movie.
People should warn people about Happy Feet.
Warn people. Warn people before you. There should be, before you buy it, there should be an advisory, a parental advisory saying like, this movie's going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to go through with this?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. I just said, go watch it. Don't anybody watch it ever again.
Yeah.
Go see Furiosa. Do not see this movie.
Megan, do you have a favorite movie from 2024?
Oh, I did see something recently. Probably this is not what I was thinking of, but I saw Roadhouse and I had fun.
Megan, your favorite movie, you're Dune-pilled.
Oh my God, I'm Dune-pilled. Oh my God, that's the only movie I've seen. I am all about Dune. The only two things I want to talk about from here on out. Okay, now I've finished my Happy Feet piece, so I'm done talking about Happy Feet. So now I'm exclusively talking about Dune Part 2.
I know you need to go, but can you tell our audience your favorite headpiece that Florence Pugh wears in the film?
Oh, I like it the very end.
Yeah.
I like the most when he's like, and I'll marry her. And she's like, ooh, come through. She gets a little excited about that.
Yeah.
You know she gets pretty hyped.
Yeah.
That movie, and they're making a third one now. I'm so psyched.
Yeah.
But you know who I like even more, who's Luke's I like even more in the movie? Is Rebecca Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
At the end when she shows up with like tatted out all over her. Mm.
Well, that's you. That's very much you're going to like marry Harry into some emperor's family so you can be
extremely
be the reverend
the
mother.
High priestess or the reverend mother
because you went to a Benza Gesserit high school before you went to my
God I'm have you seen the thing I have to send it to you, the TikTok of the guy who's like, hello, it's me, Shia Lube, and it's the giant sandworm, and he's like, Paul Atreides, pesky Paul, I call him. Goes, and then he's like, the Bene Gesserit, nasty women, nasty women. It is almost as good as the movie Dune 2 itself.
Dune 2 is also my favorite movie of the year. Although I've got to say, I've seen a lot of really good movies since last time we recorded that I really liked. I really liked Immaculate. I liked most of Love Lies Bleeding. The end didn't work for me. I liked Monkey Man a lot. I'm halfway through Scoop on Netflix, which is about Prince Andrew, Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
I do want to see that.
Loving it. I can't wait to finish it. What else? I saw one other thing I really liked. Wicked Little Letters I liked a lot, too.
Oh, is it Olivia Colman?
Olivia Colman and Jesse Buckley, yeah.
Great.
I think you'd dig that, too.
I bet I would.
Anyway, do you have anything you want to plug, Meg?
No, just this podcast.
Yeah.
Please, everybody, watch this podcast.
Yeah, make sure to watch this podcast.
Oh, God. It's too bad that they can't, because I look great.
Yeah.
Just know that.
It's your day. If you like what you listen to, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can follow us at The Oscar Should on Twitter or The Oscar Should Gone To on Instagram or Facebook. And we'll be back in a few weeks. We'll be talking about the next 7 Pixar films and what they were up against. So thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you had a good time.